today's presentation on Visual Studio 2017. My name is Jim Vacca, and I'm a member of the Developer Evangelism Group at Microsoft. Our team focuses on helping development teams understand and utilize developer-related solutions. Within the Visual Studio 2017 release, there were two themes that focused on the concepts of shift left and inner loop. Today, we plan to show you a glimpse of how modern application development can work. Chris, if you wouldn't mind advancing to the next slide. And we also have some exciting offers that can help you get started. I will cover these in a little bit more detail at the end of the presentation, but we did want to start off just showing you that it's not just sharing technical content with you that our team can provide. We can also help you learn more, purchase, and actually deploy as well. So today's presentation is going to be delivered by Chris Bowen. Chris is a technical specialist in our team focused on developer and DevOps tooling, development architecture, developer cloud offerings. Chris has authored a number of books and has been one of the members in our circuit going around delivering content, so you may recognize his name. At this point, I will go ahead and turn things over to Chris for today's presentation.
Thanks very much, Jim. So we'll dive right in here. We've got a lot to cover with you today, a lot of announcements that we've made in the past months. So we wanted to distill the essence of that for you and share things we thought would be really a key to get top of mind for you. So we've got a lot of changes in the Visual Studio family. We'll just dive right in. You'll see some familiar faces here, but also some new members in the list. And we'll cover each of these. We'll share what's new and what you may have already been familiar with, and cover these new items as well. So all of these will dovetail quite nicely with an overall approach to modern applications in Azure. So we'll share part of that story as well. So we talk about what's new in .NET, .NET Core, and container-based approaches. You'll see a lot of these things really appearing as part of the various elements of the Visual Studio family. So let's dive right in. Let's start with the most obvious thing of all is that it's out there. Visual Studio 2017 is ready for you. You can go to visualstudio.com and download that in its various editions. Amongst many benefits that are available to you, we'll go over these in time here, is access to Xamarin University. And so I would encourage you to check that out. It's a great education benefit for that. But do feel free to begin downloading that, take a look at that, and kick the tires as we as you're inspired by the things I'm showing you today. So let's, without further ado, dive in and talk about what's new. There are really four major pillars that we'll review with you in context of what's new in the Visual Studio family. First, fundamentals. What's new in 2017 itself? What's new for developers? How do we help you be more efficient and productive? And we'll talk about cloud-based development. Really, Jim and I and the rest of the team, we focus a lot on really moving applications toward hybrid, cloud-based, modern application architectures, born in the cloud applications. So you'll see there's no lack of investment on our part to provide you the tooling to get there. Mobile, key for many of the folks that we work with, being able to provide great experiences both internally to your own employees and to your customers as well. And finally, DevOps, really the essence of all of this, tying it together into a unified approach to help you deliver value more efficiently and with more reliability. All of these things have significant investments that we'll share with you today. So let's start at the beginning with the fundamentals of what's new in 2015. And a few things to mention. I'll do a demonstration in a moment, really around productivity, what we call shift left, more on that in a moment. But there's a lot of things that I can't quite show just for time. We only have a bit of a sliver of time together in the scheme of things here. So I'll show you the major features, but I'm going to refer you to where you can learn more about the other parts as well. So stay tuned for that. The other thing that I can't really demo for you is how much investment we've made in improving the performance of Visual Studio. That was a significant design goal for the team, making sure that all of your experiences throughout Visual Studio, whether it's loading a project or running things, debugging, have a noticeable improvement for you in 2017. Again, not something that's easy to demo, but something that you'll be quite satisfied to experience yourself as you kind of load things that you may have had in 2015 and experience that in 2017. So let's talk about some of the major improvements in 2017, and then we'll get to a demo in a moment here. So begin with the kind of a traditional look at DevOps, and Visual Studio being at the core of all of that. And we all know the story here. You're writing code, and that's usually the beginning of a longer journey to get that code into a production deployment. We go through all the things that you see here, unit testing and analysis, and finally through various test environments and into the production environment if all goes well, right? And typically that involves kind of a longer loop of learning where I'll write my code, I'll check it in, and the rest of the stuff kind of happens. Maybe it's nightly or even a longer period of time before I can hear more about the success of the code that I just added. Our goal is to shift as much of that experience to the left of the cycle to help the developer to learn more earlier in the process. So this is referred to as shift left, very obviously. But the idea I think you'll see here in a moment is really about enabling the developer to stay in the moment of writing code, of creating value, without having to lose that context just to hear the next day that maybe something wasn't quite right or needs to be improved. And then they have to go back and realize, well, what was I doing? This code is so clever. What was I doing here to fix that, to address what the issue might be? We want to help mitigate that. So you'll see a bunch of features that I'll demonstrate for you that are right in Visual Studio 2017 and build on what you have today in 2015 to really have a much stronger story for developer learning as they're writing code and being productive. So to begin with that, we have almost what's table stakes here. Code editing and a tight debugging loop. We've been doing a great job at this for years, giving you that experience of just, things like edit and continue, immediate feedback. We've closed the loop now on XAML-based development. You get the edit and continue there now too, web and all those things with a variety of tooling. So that's kind of a known good thing in the shift left world. If we expand our horizon out a little bit farther, unit testing, sometimes, many times that I've seen, this can be something that takes many days or certainly an overnight. Not all organizations are to a continuous testing model. So we want to help the developer to run them in Visual Studio as they're writing code. We call this live unit testing, and this is something I'll just show you, so it's a lot easier than talking about. So stay tuned for that. Really, the idea is, as I'm writing code, give me feedback on whether the code that I'm writing has either passing or failing unit tests associated with that and how I can address that. Next item here is code analysis. We have different ways to analyze your code for best practices or anti-patterns, whatever it is you're looking for, any considerations. We also have the ability to look at whether your standards that you've set for your team are being enforced, whether there are incorrect references being made from one object to another. Those are the kinds of things that you can bring into the shift left to the developer, and then now have live access to that feedback right as they're writing the exact line of code or just as they're adding that new reference, so they don't have to go back later and maybe remove a whole lot of code that they've written with an assumption that it would be the right thing to do. So let's step ahead here. I want to get right into a demonstration and show you some of these things in action. I think it's the best way to show these things, so to really to share what these features can mean to you. So sorry if I'll switch through some screens here. I want to show you how to get to this stuff. It's the most obvious thing here of the day, but visualstudio.com. And I would just encourage you to click on the Visual Studio 2017 link here, just under New in Visual Studio. I mentioned this because there's a great set of documentation here. You may not have expected this from your other use of other software and stuff, but the release notes are quite friendly in Visual Studio. And if you open this up, this is going to give you a nice list of all the big stuff and all the medium and minor issue minor features that have been added or improved for you. And we just don't have the time to cover today. So I'll encourage you to check out those release notes, pan down. It's many pages of really helpful documentation, pictures to show you things in action. So to help, because I can't cover everything, I want to point you to where you can find more about how to learn what is new. In addition, we'll have some references for you at the end here where you can get access to some of our launch content videos to go specifically into a feature and see how that works. In addition, I would recommend you check out the Visual Studio team blog. Very easy to find. Just search for Visual Studio blog, and you'll find posts like the one I have here, documenting a lot of the changes that I'll introduce with you over the course of the session. So that said, let's get right into Visual Studio, and I'll just go ahead and show you a lot of these things in action. We'll begin. We're kind of in the middle of a story here as I'm sharing this demo with you. We've got an issue that we found in production where there's something wrong with search. And through a few steps that I'm skipping for time here, we found where the issue is. If you're curious, we use things like application insights to find that there was a problem in production. We got some metrics around production behavior to indicate that there was something we need to look into. And then we used a feature that we've had in Visual Studio for a couple of versions now called IntelliTrace. And that helps you to do historical debugging. So what you can do is say, in production, give me a log of what's happening there. I'll bring it back into Visual Studio so I can see just what's going wrong or what's, if there are errors, things like that, just as they're happening in code on that remote environment. So that brought us here. We're at the product search page. We know there's a problem here. We've seen the problems in production in those various tools, but we want to get in and just understand how we can improve our code here and really where the issues are. So we begin. You can look through our various code here. There's not too much in this particular item here. We do know that there's an error being thrown in a number of cases in this method. And one thing I'll point out, I'm not going to try to zoom too often on the screen sharing here, but if you see this code lens line above it, it's a tiny gray line here. It's bringing together all of the stuff that we have both locally in Visual Studio and the knowledge of what's happening in our DevOps experience. So Team Foundation Server, Team Services, those members of the extended Visual Studio family. And you can see who's made changes, when people committed new code. So we can go maybe find out when this code started breaking and who made the change and ask them why, what they were working on. But if I scroll up just a bit here, take a look at the first method here, you actually see that one of those items here says that there are 0 of 3 unit tests that are applied to just this method, but I didn't see the same thing on that method below. So we've got a challenge here. We've got code that has no unit testing. So there's an opportunity for us. I'm going to open up the Test Explorer and just pin this for you so you can kind of see that, yes, our project overall has a good number of unit tests, not nearly enough though, to get our coverage. But they're there. I can go ahead and run them. You'll see they should update fairly quickly. And then we'll see that these aren't really affecting the code that we want to verify and actually find out what's going wrong here. So you'll see that here. And now I can actually see in the code lens that, yep, 3 of the 3 there are passing, but I still don't have anything down here. So we have a brand new feature that I mentioned was live unit testing. And before I get to that, I just wanted to show you part of the story that completes the vision around unit testing. It's something that we introduced in Visual Studio 2015 called IntelliTest. It's an important way to close the gap on any coverage on any coverage gaps that you have in your unit test. So you'll see here, again, I don't have any tests here, but I do want some. So let me go ahead and right-click on this, and you'll see a kind of a long menu here of options here. But in the middle, generally, your mileage may vary. You'll see IntelliTest and the ability to run IntelliTest. I'm going to do this very quickly. It's a very powerful feature. There's a lot that I could share with you about this, but I'll again refer you to deeper videos and walkthroughs on this topic. I'll give you the essence though. We're going to run analysis of our code, just that one method because I right-clicked on it. I'm asking the system to go and find the scenarios that might make great unit tests. And it's found them for me. It has 8 scenarios here, 2 of which are actually throwing exceptions. This could be the part of the problem that we're facing. So that's great. And that feature alone is very helpful to find the scenarios that we could create unit tests for. But the other important part is I can just select all of these and hit the Save button. And when I do that, it's going to actually generate the code that we need to run these as unit tests in our solution. So I've saved all kinds of time. I don't need to spend time creating those unit tests by hand. It's going to give me a great starting point for all the unit tests that I would need. I'm going to do a quick save just to get everything refreshed. And you'll see in a moment that we took those new unit tests that were proposed, we saved them, and now they're in our list along with the other unit tests that we've had all along. So what I can do, I can go ahead and run those too. So I'll say run all again, and we'll get those added in here too. We see that, as we expected, two of them are failing, and this is an interesting point. So we have some code to improve, but let's take this a step farther. Let's say, okay, we're about to fix the code in here, but before I do that, I want some kind of indicator about whether I'm doing the right thing or maybe kind of doing the wrong thing, and some visual indicator from the system. So I'm going to go ahead and just enable the ability to run this live unit testing feature. And to do so, I'm just going to do a quick update. I'm going to go and remove one reference here. I'm just going to add in the new libraries that we need to have live unit testing find these tests and to actually execute them for us. It's very simple. This is all in the documentation, by the way. It just takes a moment. I'll go ahead and search for MS test, and I'm going to grab this framework, install that, and say OK, I accept. And the test adapter. And these are the new things that live unit tests use to kind of communicate and to tell us in the IDE immediately what's happening with our experience. So I've done that. I'm all set. I'm going to go back into our code here. Close that out. And now I'm going to go to our test menu, live unit testing, start. And that's all there is to it. This takes a number of seconds the first time you do this. We recommend that you pause it instead of stopping it if you do want to suspend it for whatever reason that might be. Maybe you're copying in a lot of code or something like that. But what it's doing is spinning up the background thread. This actually runs out of band of your editing experience. So I can go ahead and start typing code. It's not going to slow me down at all. It's basically in the background, watching on my behalf, and then correlating what I'm doing to the execution of the unit test. So we're done now. It's caught up here. We've got everything running for us now. And you can see a number of different glyphs are in this left-hand side here. So what they mean? Well, the most obvious one is the check mark. We're good. We have unit tests that are executing that line of code, and they're currently passing. And that's great. I can actually hover over any of these and also click on them to see what those tests are. I won't go to them just to save some time, but we can do the same thing with the red cross that you're seeing here. You can see that there's some failures for each of these lines of code. I can open them up. I can see which ones are failing, which ones are passing. But basically, that cross, that red X, means that at least one test is failing that is executing that line of code. And this is helpful. So now, as I write code, I can get that immediate feedback around whether I'm improving the quality of my code or not. So I'm going to add some code in. You can watch the left-hand side. I'll just say is null or empty. And we'll just verify the query to make sure that we're not getting something passed in that, that won't work for us. So then otherwise I'll put an else here. We're good. You see the little clock that's appearing? It means it's going ahead, it's doing its stuff for us. It's updating these tests on the fly. And there's actually another issue down here with a bound check. I'm going to go ahead and fix that. Just kind of watch the experience here. Nothing is slowing me down in the editor, but I'm getting that immediate feedback around whether I'm doing the right stuff in my code. So now life is good. We've got our unit tests. They're passing. I should point out, too, that we also have great code coverage features in Visual Studio. Part of your use of Visual Studio Enterprise includes the not only what I just showed you here, but code coverage, which is a thing that you can enable. But we also show that to you as part of our live unit testing. So you can see that here, this blue dash. And if I scroll up a bit more, there may be some others. No, I've covered things pretty well here. But there's at least a test running these other items. But there's no test that gets me to this exception, this catch region here. And so we probably want to use IntelliTest to create some unit tests to verify that, just some way to close that coverage gap. But now I have a very clear visual indicator that there's something that, well, we don't want the customer to be the first person to run that code, so I better have some unit tests to do that as well. Okay, so that's a quick view of both in a summary of IntelliTest, but also what's new with live unit testing. So another thing I want to show you, and this doesn't need the unit test anymore, so I'm going to close that to get us some real estate. And if we go over here, we can say I have a note to myself saying, maybe if I wanted to add in product view model here, because that's got some features that I think the code on the other side might want to take advantage of. So I'm going to go ahead and add that in. I'll say, let's go ahead and try that product view model. And we'll see if I'm going to do that. It's actually going to advise me. It's saying, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. There's some product view model that you're talking about, but I don't have that. And this is built in. This is, Visual Studio helping you out, offering you ways to improve and refactor your code. If I open this up, you can see it's just a matter of adding a using statement. So I'm going to do that. We'll add that up at the top of the code. Trust me, it's there. But I still have an issue here. Now there's something else that's happening. It's a little small to read, so I'll read it for you in case it's not clear. It's just telling us that we're accessing a product view model inside of our search, but we shouldn't. Something is telling us not to. We have something I'll show you in a moment that says, hey, this reference is actually not supported by the standards that we've set for our application. And this is something that we're called that's built on something that's called dependency diagrams or layer diagrams. And we've had this as a feature for some time. But what's new is the ability to enforce this or kind of guide a developer as they're writing code immediately in the editor. No need to run this separately or to wait for the rightmost sides of your process to catch this, which you can still do for backup, by the way. But this item is saying you can't reference the model because there's no relationship set in the dependency diagram. Let me show you what that is. This is not a whole tutorial on these diagrams, but you can see right here, got one right here. This is the thing that's driving that feedback to the developer. Yours will probably be more comprehensive, keeping it very simple here just for a demonstration. But you can see these are some assets from within our solution here. We're saying there's controllers, there's the view models, and the product search. There's no relationship from search to the view model. So my attempt to create a reference there is actually explicitly forbidden until I go and establish that that would be okay architecturally. And so by having this, you can be essentially looking over someone's shoulders to advise them on how to improve their code right in their code, right at the moment they're writing that line of code. So there's no need to then, like I said before, write a lot of code that you're expecting to be okay only to remove it because it's non-standard or doesn't follow best practices that the project leads or the architects may have set for your environment. So that's a quick view of some of the new things that are in 2017. There's some significant features there. Of course, I didn't cover everything. I'll refer you back to some of the stuff that we have for video content and for the release notes, but do check that out. There's much more. I think Jim knows that it pains me not to show you everything, but I want to keep us on time and we'll move ahead here. So let me switch back to slides and get right back here. Move ahead here. So let's talk about some of the other things that are available to you, especially if you have Visual Studio Enterprise. We've added in a lot of partner and other offers into what you have access to. Pluralsight, they've been a great partner of ours. We've extended the benefit there to 1 year of full access to the catalog. Whatever you want to get at, you can do that. After that, you have as a curated set of 40 courses you can use beyond that point. We've extended the O365 benefit. We've also added some interesting partnerships with a variety of companies. Parasoft offers you API testing and service virtualization that I think you'll find really helpful in a variety of scenarios, especially as you look to modernize your applications, maybe use microservices. In White Source Bolt, we'll talk about in just a moment, so stay tuned for that one. In addition, we'll talk about a partnership with Redgate, and all of these things are available to you as part of the benefits that we have as part of Enterprise. So let's move ahead. Let's talk about DevOps. There's a lot to say here. I'll give you kind of an update on some of our momentum around supporting your end-to-end delivery of value. And so we've continued to deliver on improving the ability for you to integrate, to support enterprise scale processes, to support your own culture, to bring in tools that you maybe you already have in place, to complement the things that are maybe part of Visual Studio or part of what we provide. But you'll see that here as part of our overall DevOps story. Here's a bit of some detail on this. Everything from beginning your development, creating ideas, creating requirements, assessing and triaging bugs that happens in your development model, in development mode, shifts into your build and test, supporting everything that you're doing in Visual Studio or really any technology. You're in Java, you're in Python. Our DevOps solution works with whatever types of technology you've decided to utilize in your applications. So it's not just a Visual Studio .NET story here. Go into release. We have build and release management, automated testing. As I mentioned, we skipped in our demo things like monitoring, using application insights, operations management, a lot of ways to actually learn from what's happening in QA, learn what's happening in production, and bringing that as education into our development cycle so we can iterate on that using actual metrics that matter to inform our decisions. So key players in that regard are Team Services, Visual Studio Team Services, our hosted options for DevOps capabilities, and Team Foundation Server. We've had this for many years, your on-premises installation of these DevOps tools. To show you how we deliver value in these different products, we tend to deploy more continuously to Team Services. It's a cloud-based, turnkey, SaaS type of solution that you can utilize. We follow our Scrum model where generally every 3 weeks we're deploying new capabilities. Oftentimes we're deploying even more quickly than that. But since we don't control how you install things on your own premises, we roll those updates and new features up into new updates or new point releases for Team Foundation Server. We make those available to you. And so I'm happy to share that we're already up to update 1 for Team Foundation Server 2017. So you can grab that today and apply that to your on-premises TFS. Again, if you're using Team Services in the cloud, that's just part of what you get as using that as a service. Those features are there, but there's quite a few things that have been added in update 1. You'll see them kind of flowing in here, but not really time to cover all of these. Just to mention, there's a lot of innovation happening, a lot of new features that we're able to deploy to you without waiting for another full release of, say, Team Foundation Server to get that new capability to you that we're committing to, that we're deploying based on customer feedback. So I'll encourage you to check that out if you do have TFS, and also to check out Team Services if you haven't had a chance to look at that yet. Team Services, by the way, is free to use for up to teams of 5. And then beyond that, it's just the benefit of using Visual Studio to go beyond that. So let's move ahead. I mentioned this in passing earlier. Let's go a little bit deeper. Redgate data tools are now part of the Visual Studio story. There are 3 tools that we enable use of as part of your use in Visual Studio and this partnership. And I'll give you a screenshot in a moment here. But they're really focused on the data story, where a lot of times we tend to focus as an industry on managing the flow of code. Data seems to kind of be the thing that's thought of in a second capacity. But it's no less important. And so we want to make sure that the tools that help you to achieve full DevOps, including a data-focused DevOps story, are available to you. And so we have a number of options for you. Let me skip ahead here to the slide to show you. It's a bit much to absorb visually, but it does show a couple of things that are part of that Redgate partnership. A couple of them are actually for efficiency of writing your actual SQL queries, your SQL store procedures, things like that. So we have SQL Prompt, which is an enterprise benefit that you can use. And also SQL Search, which is available across the different versions of Visual Studio as an available feature. And then finally, what you're seeing kind of behind that pop-up is something called Ready Role. And this is really a key component of your overall DevOps consideration. What it can do for you is observe what you're doing in, say, Visual Studio and help you to track how you've made those changes to a database in a way that we can, or the tooling can, help you to replicate in a consistent, measured way in other environments. So you're no longer having to take a snapshot of a database, move it up to one environment, hope everything goes right, or do massive changes, and then have a perhaps less than ideal rollback strategy because you don't have that kind of repeatable process. This focuses on a migration-based approach to say, well, you've changed data, you've changed the name of a column, you've changed the schema. All of those things can be automatically tracked, and it's hard to see, but on the right-hand side, you might begin to see that folder called Migrations, and that's where you'll see over time essentially the story that's being told of the work that you're doing with your database. When you're ready, what I'm not showing you here is that gets checked right into source control. That's just as important as the code changes that you're making. You check in those migrations, and then once you have maybe it's a continuous deployment process, a continuous integration process running, that has an integration point. It's just part of the excellent story that we have in our build and release technology to bring in other kinds of tools. that can look for this. So the Redgate task will actually look for those specific scripts, those migrations, and run them for you as you go through integration to QA, to staging, to production. You can apply those in a measured, repeatable manner, so you have much less consideration or much less of a gap in your ability to deploy that data just as you can deploy your code. Okay, so it's a lot. There's much more. There's a great blog post on the Visual Studio team blog describing this, but I hope that gives you the overview of that partnership. The other one to mention is White Source Bolt. And White Source, they focus with the Bolt product on open source scanning. And this really is an important thing that we're seeing. Obviously, Microsoft's a huge contributor now, open source. A lot of what we're doing in .NET, for example, begins and ends as open source. So we know the value of being able to leverage open source libraries in your solutions. There's a challenge, though. As you bring in these open source libraries, you may be opening yourself up to various risks. And that could include vulnerabilities. It could also include legal risk due to licenses that those libraries carry. And so depending on your tolerance for different types of licensing models, you need some way to understand what your risk is and how to work through that. In addition to the obvious of if there are known vulnerabilities with the libraries that you're bringing in, well, first of all, identifying them is important, but then also having suggestions on how to improve that is also part of what you can leverage with Bolt. So we include 6 months of use for a project with Visual Studio Enterprise, and I'll show you just a moment of it here. This is an example dashboard of the experience that you'll see directly in this example in Team Services. It adds a new blade into your experience there, and it might be a little hard to see this there. I'll again refer you back to the Visual Studio team blog to find more about this, but you can see at a glance that the top stuff there is showing us, what is our dashboard? Are we vulnerable? Do we have vulnerable libraries in the actual code? And by the way, this is not what we think we have for libraries. This is what you actually have in your code. So if someone snuck something in through the internet and copied it into the code, this is going to help you to find that, even though that maybe not have been an approved thing to do. You'll see, you know, how long has it been since the last update. And also, this is the hard part to read, but you'll see the list of vulnerabilities and suggestions for why it's an issue, but also how to mitigate that. You see the top fix on the right-hand side there. In addition, I can't scroll because it's a picture here, but below this is actually a list of the licenses that are associated with the libraries that you actually have in use that were detected during this build. And you'll see those there as well with a similar kind of dashboard or highlighting of the associated legal risk that you've defined around things like Apache, MIT, whatever it might be. And then you'll see that sorted by priority. And again, helpful for you to identify that as part of your overall DevOps process. So you can encourage innovation, but identify risk when it occurs. Okay, we'll move ahead here. Let's talk about the cloud for a moment. This will bring us into what's new with .NET, and especially with .NET Core. Obviously, the cloud is a huge area of investment for us. It's part and parcel of modern application development these days. And so we have multiple facets to assist you with your utilization of the cloud, a hybrid or a full or other kinds of scenarios that you may have. So our focus has been on providing ensuring that .NET is a key part of that opportunity to combine with cloud options, and then also that you can support the thing I mentioned before around flexibility in DevOps, being able to use containers to manage your process for deploying and architecting solutions. So we have new tools for that too, both in our DevOps offerings and also in Visual Studio. So that said, let's move ahead here. I'll show you a bit more about what's new in .NET. We're not going to go into everything here, but just to show you, it's our good friend, the .NET framework. Very much an important investment for us, continues to be. We've got a lot of new investments there in 4.6.2. And then that continues to be the full set of options in the .NET world, supporting all kinds of application development models. .NET Core is kind of the newer item here. And the options here are really focused on being lightweight and fast and being ideally suited to those microservices and cloud-native application types of approaches, really modern approaches here. So let's focus on the server side experience there. So it's a subset of the full .NET framework. What's interesting here is it's cross-platform. And, by the way, fully open source. You can go right now up to GitHub, see every line of code right there. But importantly, it runs on many distributions of different operating systems, obviously Windows, but also Mac, distributions of Linux as well. And you'll see that that helps you to, say, write your code literally in one just one set of code, and without changing anything, just bring it over. So take your ASP core application, bring it right over to another machine, different OS, it will run unchanged. And that's really the goal for having a flexibility not only in operating system, platform that you're targeting, but also to minimize the footprint of what you're deploying. So .NET Core actually deploys in terms of components that you select from NuGet, for example. So you only take and deploy the parts of the .NET infrastructure that you need in that application, enabling side-by-side, for example. Also, Xamarin, we'll talk about in the fourth part here today, but just a quick introduction is that we acquired them some time ago. The focus is on helping you to leverage your experience, your knowledge of .NET, to create native applications in a variety of platforms. So being able to go beyond Windows, obviously we do that extremely well, but also to expand out to iOS and Android and a wide variety of different form factors and devices in that area. So along the way, just the last point on the slide, a .NET standard library is there as a way to unify all these different visions or different facets of .NET. And that's where we see our innovation happening first going forward. So we're currently at the .NET Standard Library 1 that you can review. We have 2 on the horizon where we're bringing a much more broader set of the .NET framework there. And the idea is, if I can write code that targets the .NET Standard Library, I know it can be used in all these different capacities that you're seeing above that. So it's a way to help share and have consistency in your use of .NET across those environments. So that brings us into concepts around containerization and leveraging these modern application approaches. To help you with that, we have some new tooling. And actually, Visual Studio 2017 has that available to you right as part of the installation process. It's just right there. You can grab the tooling. By the way, I did not mention that the installer, it's not usually something I would demo, but the installer is very streamlined. It's very much focused on the work that you want to do and bringing only the parts of Visual Studio in that you would need to get your job done, to be super lightweight, installs quickly, runs quickly, and part of that is to bring in, you know, any of the .NET tooling that you would need to get your work done. So we have some great tools there to support all of what's new in .NET Core as well. So I'll encourage you to check that out. We also have support for working with containers, such as some of our newer services in Azure, Azure Container Service, Azure Container Registry. And you'll see those as you know, options to complement what you're utilizing from a modern application perspective, a microservices-based approach. And so, advance here. The things that you can look at here are really the ability to compose applications across not only different feature sets that might be different services, but also different technology sets. And we see this all the time, that maybe you have something you've acquired or as a partner or just different teams that have different expertises that you're bringing together into overall applications. That's where you could use what I mentioned, Azure Container Service, to help coordinate and execute those containers in a scalable way in the cloud. In addition, we've plugged this entire process in to our DevOps tooling and into Visual Studio. So you'll see this here. I'm going to go fairly quickly, but give you the high-level view of what's going on here. If you look at what's happening in Team Services, you'll see a wide variety of options there, too. We support many different container technologies. You'll see different tasks to support whatever technologies are satisfying your needs with containers, in addition to using the container registry to help you manage all of the different images that you may have that you're then composing into the applications like you're seeing here. Like this web application uses those 5 different container web microservices. So there's much more to our DevOps story, and we want to fold that in with your use of all these different technologies and make sure that you're getting what you need to be scalable and easily managed as part of a deployment process. The point on Visual Studio as well is to mention, I won't show, but we've also released tools for Docker in Visual Studio, and that is what it sounds like. It's to help you to kind of use the familiar patterns of Visual Studio in a way that correlates to and leverages containers. So if I want to publish, we can show you how to do that. If I want to enable Docker support in an existing application, really it's what all developers know to do. Right-click on the solution and go ahead and add it right in there. We'll instrument it for you, and now you can run it, say, on Git for Windows. Fire up a Linux container on your Windows system, run that application, do full debugging from Visual Studio to it. It's a really interesting and effective way to work with containers and then deploy that through our DevOps offerings. So to make this a little more hands-on for you, we have a reference architecture application that you can go and download and look at. It's the URL you see down there at the bottom, the AKA URL. And this is quite comprehensive. It's not a hello world, I'll be clear about that. And it's not trying to be. It's actually a very comprehensive solution that covers a wide variety of scenarios, everything from how to do microservices, how to compose the backend architecture, how to encompass that into containers with Docker host, and to bring those images together into an overall application. In this case, it's a multi-headed architecture where we have client apps of a variety of types, internal, external web apps, a mobile application using Xamarin. You're seeing all these things as an example. So maybe it's not your first look at these things. Maybe it's kind of maybe your second thing to look at once you're a little more familiar with the ideas behind containers, for example. But it's a fantastic demonstration of how to pull these things together, and I would encourage you to check that out. So moving ahead here, let's talk about mobile. We've, as I alluded to before, we have a lot that's happening in the world of mobile. We recently, actually I'm not sure how recently now, is it a couple of years now, have acquired Xamarin and been pulling in and unifying all the great technology that they've had for a number of years into the Visual Studio family. So our goal really is to help you to get highly regarded applications to market very quickly and efficiently, both from the developer perspective, and as you'll see in a moment, from the DevOps perspective too. So we've automated a lot of that as well. So let's begin with Xamarin. And part of that Xamarin story is the introduction of Visual Studio for Mac. And this is currently available for you in preview. So if you do have a Mac, go download this and try this out. It's a great example of bringing the Visual Studio experience to the Macintosh. So if you are creating these, for example, either mobile-first or cloud-first applications, or both, all within that experience, this is a way to do that on different platforms such as the Mac. And so this is for great integration with obviously .NET and Xamarin, but also with all the services that you might use in Azure as well as part of that modern application architecture. So do check that out. Now Xamarin itself came from a long heritage of really focusing on bringing all of the good things of .NET and connecting that to multiple platforms. And so for many years now, that team has been working on really the story that you're seeing here, helping you to create native applications on a variety of different platforms that are, you know, exactly the kinds of experiences that customers have come to expect. And the key part here is the bottom, though. As developers, we don't need to specialize in three different things. We don't need to know, we don't need to have a team that just does Swift or a team that's just the Java team. We can leverage all the stuff that we've been learning over these, I think, 15 years now of .NET and bring that and leverage that with our mobile application development. So the goal for that team really is focused on saying, hey, if you can do something in Objective-C, you can do something in these SDKs that these mobile platform providers offer, you can do it through C# using Xamarin directly in Visual Studio. And that's something they've really had as a goal. They've been keeping to that extremely well, with even, you know, same-day support for new APIs as they're being released, good partnerships with all of the platform providers. So do, you know, look at this as a way to expand and leverage your .NET skills in new ways that go beyond, you know, maybe what you've thought of as the only ways that you could use .NET. That those times have changed. And so do look to Xamarin as a way to improve that. The good news here is that We include Xamarin as part of the Visual Studio benefit. You have Visual Studio, you have Xamarin. There's nothing else to buy. You've got the correlated tools of what you have in Visual Studio to the associated tools in Xamarin. And let me talk about that next. So there's quite a few things. Really, to keep us in the scope of an hour, I can't demonstrate these to you, just like some of the other things too, but there's a lot. So if you, for example, fire up Visual Studio 2017 Enterprise and create a new Xamarin project, you'll see a bunch of these tools available to you. Some advanced features like Inspector, being able to help look at a running application, seeing what's happening in it, seeing what the impact is, the effect of changing something and having it update immediately in that running instance. That's all part of the Inspector capability, that kind of closing of that loop, the shifting left. So I no longer actually have to hit F5 and redeploy an application just to see that that color is what I want or isn't what I want. Profiling of applications to get high performance. We've kind of been spoiled rotten in the .NET side. All that spoiling now brings over to the Xamarin side too, where you can really efficiently tune those applications. A lot of great stuff too. A forms previewer, iOS simulators. We've got the some fantastic ways to help you work with Android and iOS in Visual Studio using these tools and create those native experiences, again, from what you know in .NET. More features there on the right-hand side. I will point out Test Recorder. It's an important thing. It leads into our next topic. The ability to take that mobile application and through using Visual Studio, record the interactions that you have with the UI and create these new tests that you can either run manually or more efficiently run them with automation as part of a mobile DevOps strategy. And so this test, this UI test recorder, is just something you'll see in Visual Studio. It's part of that Xamarin capability set. And then you can go ahead and record these tests and then bring them into other environments for testing at scale or testing across a breadth of devices. Which brings us to the next topic. So writing code is only part of the story with Visual Studio and with mobile applications. Obviously, we're taking good care of you in Visual Studio. All those features that I just mentioned on the Xamarin side to help you to create really top-notch native applications on a variety of platforms. But writing the code and getting it to run on your machine and on your emulator, on your devices, that's only part of the story. There's a lot of different considerations that go into deploying an application, into managing the life cycle of a mobile application. And you'll see them here. There's a wide variety here. Everything from managing identity to leveraging push notifications out in a platform-independent way. How do you ensure that users on iOS get a notification just the same as they would on Windows? How do you distribute applications maybe to your first ring of testers, your beta testers, and get feedback from them, crash notifications? How do I do continuous deployment? All these considerations, we have various offerings for you in these regards. And what we've done is we've unified these into one-stop shopping option for you here. I'm going to pardon the animation here, but these have all been unified into something we're calling Visual Studio Mobile Center. And this really is mission control for all those considerations that you have from a mobile DevOps perspective. So you can go here today. I'll have the link on the next slide here. But log in and you'll see there's a dashboard of a variety of things that you can do. Those considerations I mentioned are here. They're referenced for you. They're available. You point to your code repo. Say, when that changes, go ahead, create this, run this build, run these tests. If that works, distribute the application, get some feedback from everyone, to run some monitoring in production, see if anything's going wrong or hopefully going right, and you'll know that that's happening as well. But those things were things that have been unified into this experience. So I'll encourage you to check this out. It's aka.ms/mobile center, and I'll encourage you to just check that out. It's currently in preview. But it's really an effective dashboard where you can just log in and get that full CI/CD experience that complements our overall DevOps story, but brings in concepts. And one thing I realized I didn't mention, things like automated testing. So those tests that we recorded earlier in Visual Studio, we can run them in Mobile Center, a feature called Xamarin Test Cloud, where we, as part of that service, manage, I think it's 2,400 or plus, different physical devices, different permutations of device and operating system, form factors, you can test on different orientations, landscape, portrait, all those things. And really what that helps you to do is to not be in the business of plugging all these cables and managing all these devices. You get direct access to running your application on these devices. We'll assess the quality of that run. We'll give you feedback. We'll give you screenshots. We'll show you where your tests failed and incorporate that back into your build and test reporting, where you can see immediately where, oh, it seems to be working fine everywhere except on these kinds of devices. Let's go fix that. So hopefully you'll recognize that's going to be a very helpful thing for you. We do offer, by the way, benefits for Visual Studio subscribers to use that that testing option for a reduced cost. So it's another nice benefit there too. But the overall story is a mobile center. I'll encourage you to check that out and kick the tires of that. So that brings us full circle. Let's kind of summarize here a lot of things that I touched on. I'll encourage you to look at some resources we'll have in a moment here. But we wanted to kind of dive a little more deeply with you on some things that we can partner with you on to help you leverage the things that I've mentioned here. So at this point, I'll turn it back over to Jim and let you take it from here. So please go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Feel free to go ahead and advance to the next slide. Yep.
All set.
So as you can see from this presentation, we have demonstrated a number of ways to help modernize the development process. And in order for you to modernize your team, we believe everybody on the team should have access to Visual Studio Enterprise. And we want you to, and we want to help you to standardize your whole team on Visual Studio Enterprise. So we've put together these different areas that we feel we can help you out. So if you need to learn more, maybe prove out one of the parts that Chris showed and how it would work in your environment, we can help there. And that's really what the first bullet is sort of talking about. And many of the folks on the meeting, we've worked with and helped along that way. If you're ready to buy or want to understand how to purchase the solution, we can help there as well. And again, there's different ways to help you outfit your entire team, and that's something that we're ready to help you with. Or if you're ready to go ahead and implement, you want to actually deploy, put DevOps to work for your team, we have a new offer called the DevOps Accelerator that the product team has recently released, and that's available for teams of 50, 100, even larger if that's the size of your organization. So we're ready there to help out as well. So again, still need to figure things out, want more education, ready to buy, want to understand what the costs are, or need help to deploy. We kind of have offerings around all three of those areas. And, if you want to learn more, please feel free to reach out to us via the email address that is on the bottom of that slide. Chris, if you would go ahead and advance to the next slide. And then throughout the session, there were a number of references, actually too many. I was trying to keep up with all the ones that Chris had mentioned. But we did put a few of them on this slide here just to help you out. So the majority of the content with keynote sessions and demonstration videos can be found at that first link, the launch content. If you have cross-platform teams, which most of you most likely do, and Java is a presence in there, we actually have a dedicated site called java.visualstudio.com that shows how Java development teams can take advantage of many of the capabilities that we've showed there. And then for what the next roadmap is, our Build conference, which is happening in just a few weeks. We will have some, if you're not able to attend that in person, we do live stream much of the content that's presented there, as well as additional sessions that go beyond what's even available at that event, and you can find more out about that at the Channel 9 website that's listed. And then down at the bottom, this is a very popular topic that we get asked about all the time, and that is, how has Microsoft adopted Agile and DevOps practices ourselves? There's a fellow in our development group by the name of Sam Guggenheimer, who has written a book series on it, and even the book series hasn't been enough. So the team actually does a live blog and shares great detail on Microsoft's own journey through Agile and DevOps. And the bottom two links there kind of share some information about that as well. So hopefully we've captured, you know, some good points for you to learn more about it going forward. So again, we thank you for your time today. Hopefully we've been able to demonstrate to you some interesting ways in how modern application development teams are working and what some of the capabilities are that we have to empower you to do those as well. If there are any questions, feel free to reach out to us via the email address. Chris, maybe if you want to go back one slide.
Absolutely.
Via the email address that was on the bottom of that slide, feel free to do so. And we look forward to working with you in the future. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Thank you all very much. Take care.